But we have enjoyed the mission. We do thank you sincerely for coming night by night. It's been encouraging, humbling, and we do pray that the Lord will continue to bless. We believe he will. I've known the help of the Lord. The Lord has answered our prayers in a very special way, I believe. And we'd like to thank Reverend Martin, Dr. Douglas, and the session of the church for the kind invitation that they extended to me to come and preach at the mission. I'd also like to thank the ladies who made the supper each evening. Certainly, they pulled out all the stops and we went home well fed. And I would like to just thank them sincerely for the effort that they put in night by night. Now, we're going to read a few verses. Turn, please, with me to Genesis chapter 6. This evening, I want to preach on the subject, the final meeting of the mission, the grace of God in the days of Noah. The grace of God in the days of Noah. And I just want to read two verses at this point and a line of another verse. Verse 3 of Genesis chapter 6, we read these words, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And then verse 13, in the first part of verse 14, "And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark." Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come. And child of God, you pray that the Lord will speak to hearts. Even although this is the last meeting, we thank God that the Lord is able to save tonight, able to bring sinners to Christ, able to restore the backslider. Pray that the Lord will work even as we come now to bring the mission and this meeting to a close. The Lord will give us a word in season. My friend, if you're not saved, we thank you for coming to the mission. And many of you have come often to the campaign, night by night, and you're not saved yet. Lord, our prayer is that even tonight you will come to know the Lord. Maybe this is the first time you're in the mission. We welcome you. But my friend, I pray tonight, although the first time, that the Lord will deal with you this evening and bring you to himself. Father in heaven, we thank thee for your presence night by night. You've truly answered prayer. You've truly given us help, Lord, and we thank thee for that. But, O God, we realize that we need thee to come and help us again. O God, for we're a continual needy people. We pray, Lord, that you'll fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. We thank thee for your presence with us this evening. We thank thee, Lord, night by night, that you've come and drawn near in a very special way. Oh God, help us just now to focus once again upon thy word. We pray, Lord, that we might have a word in season. We're not just looking, Lord, to preach a sermon, but oh God, we're looking for that word in season. We pray, Lord, that you would direct us and lead us and guide us in everything that we would say. And we pray, Lord, that again you would anoint us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, and touch our lips with a live coal from off the altar. Come, Lord, and fill us afresh with the blessed third person of the Holy Trinity. Lord, we're needy and we cast ourselves upon thee. And Lord, we know that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask. Oh God, come and bless us now. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The story of Noah's Ark is one of the most familiar stories in the Bible. Indeed, it is one of the first stories that we learned when we went to Sunday school as children. When you think about this event that is recorded in the book of Genesis, you automatically think of two things. First of all, you think about the wickedness of man. And then, secondly, you think about the judgment of God. And there's no doubt that these are two of the main elements in the story that is set before us tonight. In verse 5, we see the wickedness of man. We see that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then in verse 13, we see
God preparing for judgment. And there's no doubt that when you consider these chapters in the book of Genesis, that God's judgment did eventually fall upon that wicked and ungodly and unrighteous generation. We're familiar with the story of the flood and how the flood covered this entire world. And we are so conscious that at that time God poured out his judgment upon the entire earth. But you know, men and women, although God was preparing to judge the world for its sin and wickedness, and although the wickedness of man was great in the earth in those days, there's another element in this story that we need to consider. And it's a very important element. And it's this: the grace of God towards sinful man in the days of Noah. Because as we read Genesis chapter 6 and the chapters surrounding Genesis chapter 6, we see clearly that the Lord showed his grace towards that wicked generation in a very, very special way. And very simply tonight, at the end of this gospel mission, at the end of this gospel meeting, I want to draw your attention to the grace of God in the days of Noah. And my friend, if you're found here this evening and you're not saved, I want you to listen very carefully, because again tonight, I do believe that the Lord has a message, a very clear yet very simple message for your heart this evening. And I pray that the Lord will write that word upon your soul this evening. And I pray that if you've come into the meeting without Christ, that even before this meeting is over, that you will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Now, how did God show his grace in the days of Noah? Well, first of all, I want you to consider with me Genesis chapter 6 and the verse 3. And you'll notice, first of all, that God showed his grace in the days of Noah by pleading with sinful man. Look what it says in verse 3. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Take a look at that text of scripture. In this verse, God is telling man that unless he turns from his sin and iniquity, that God will take away his spirit from him, and therefore take away his opportunity of being saved. But when God spoke these words, I want you to notice this, his spirit was still striving with them. In other words, God had not taken his Holy Spirit from them as yet. But rather, he was still compelling and pleading with them to repent and turn away from their sin and from their iniquities. In this, we can see the grace and mercy of God. You know, the sins of these people were so wicked and depraved that they did not deserve God pleading with them to repent. Indeed, they deserved nothing but judgment and wrath. But instead of God pouring out his judgment upon them immediately, he sends his Holy Spirit to strive with them so that they would have an opportunity to repent and turn from their wicked ways. My friend, it's very important that you see that as we come to consider the grace of God in the days of Noah. We have already pointed out that the heart of man was wicked, that the world had turned away from the Lord, and that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And we have already stated that God was preparing for judgment at this time. But can you see the grace of God? Can you see the grace of God in the days of Noah? Here the Lord was striving with them. He was speaking to them. What grace! You see, friend, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Indeed, in Ezekiel 33 verse 11 it says, the Lord says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." And sinner, tonight, although you are sinful, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, although God is preparing his throne again for judgment, there is still this day the pleading of God with sinful man. Thank God this is still the day of grace. And God tonight would plead with you. His Holy Spirit tonight would strive with you and compel you to turn away from your sin and trust the living God. I wonder, as this mission has continued and gone on night by night, and you have come in under the sound of God's word, you have heard about hell, you have heard about God's judgment, you know that very soon again the Lord will pour out his judgment upon this earth, because the Bible tells us that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again, he will come back again in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But my friend, listen, you're still in the day of grace. And thank God, the Holy Spirit is still amongst God's people. And the Holy Spirit is still striving and speaking to sinners and convicting them and convincing them of their sin. And maybe there's someone here tonight and you're still not saved, although you've come into the mission and although you've heard the voice of the Lord speaking to you. My friend, that's a mercy. It's a mercy that you're found in God's house tonight. It's a mercy that you're found under the sound of the gospel this evening. As we look across Ulster and across Ireland and across this United Kingdom, there are many and they have no interest in the things of God. They have no interest in coming to a meeting like this. And yet here you are gathered under the sound of God's truth. And you know the truth is, when you look out into the world tonight, there's great wickedness. Great wickedness. And yet you're found here. And the Lord is speaking to you. And the Lord has been speaking to you. And His Holy Spirit has been striving with you. That's the grace and mercy of God. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 45 verse 22, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And thank God, if you were to come tonight and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, you'd be saved not only for time, but for all of God's eternity. We were singing the hymn this week, "O turn while in mercy the Savior is pleading, and steer for the harbor light, for how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the dead line tonight." Oh, I pray that as the Lord is speaking to you, as His Holy Spirit is striving with you, that you will turn from your sin and seek the Lord. And even this night, find eternal redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's something else I want you to notice. Look at verse 3 again. God showed His grace in the days of Noah, not only by pleading with sinful man, but you'll notice that God showed His grace in the days of Noah by being patient with sinful man. Look what the end of verse 3 says, and underline it in your Bible. "Yet his days shall be 120 years. You know, for 120 years, Noah preached to his generation. He told them that God was going to destroy the world by a flood. He warned them of coming judgment upon the earth. Indeed, for 120 years, God was patient towards that ungodly generation. And He showed His grace and mercy towards them in that He held back His judgment upon the earth and gave them not time to turn from their sin. They did not deserve 120 years of opportunity. They deserve nothing but judgment there and then. But what does the Bible say? Why, the Bible says this, that the Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. And it was the psalmist David who said, "But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and in truth." And for 120 years, the Lord was gracious and merciful to that generation. He gave them 120 years to repent. He gave them 120 years to listen to the message of the gospel and to heed the preaching of Noah and trust in the God of heaven for their eternal redemption. You know, there's a wonderful text of scripture over in 1 Peter chapter 3. It's verse 20. Underline it in your Bible. This is what it says. It says, "The long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing." Was God not merciful to that generation? Was God not gracious to that generation?
He looked down from heaven and he saw the wickedness that was in the heart of man. It was a wickedness. It was a wickedness that caused God to repent that he had ever created man in the first place. Such was the wickedness. God was going to judge that generation. He was going to send the flood. He was going to judge the world. But for 120 years, his Holy Spirit spoke and strove with that generation. God was merciful. For 120 years, he was patient towards them. Was he not gracious? Was he not merciful? My friend, the Lord has been merciful to you. Your sin deserves hell. Your sin deserves the punishment of God. And someday, if you die without Christ, as we have found out in this mission, you will be lost and never. God's judgment is coming again. I know that we live in this 21st century, and many people tell us that they don't believe in the judgment of God. But God is a righteous God, and he will judge sin. Of that there is no doubt. And the Bible says that all nations that forget God will be turned into hell. God is preparing his judgment again for this world. And my friend, that judgment hasn't fallen yet. Why? Because God wants to show his grace and mercy towards sinful man again. And thank God, even in this meeting tonight, although you're found here in your sin, condemned already, the Lord has brought you here, and he has brought you here to speak to you, and he has brought you here to save you, and he has brought you here because he wants to redeem your precious, never dying soul. But something else I want you to notice. I want you to take a look at verse 14 now. Because not only do we see the grace of God in the days of Noah by God striving with sinful man and by God being patient with sinful man, but notice also that God showed his grace in the days of Noah by his provision for sinful man. You see, it says here in verse 14, God says to Noah, make thee an ark. Now, God made a way of escape. God provided a way of salvation. And all that ungodly generation had to do was to flee to that provision and get into the ark. The ark was the place of safety. The ark was the place of salvation. The ark was the place, the only place, where God's wrath and judgment would not fall. So here again we can see the grace of God in the days of Noah. We're all familiar with the story of Noah's ark, how the Lord commanded Noah to build the ark. My friend, what mercy the Lord showed towards that sinful generation. But you know, the sad truth is this, that they rejected God's mercy. They rejected the strivings of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. They rejected God's patience toward them. They would not listen, although he gave them 120 years to repent. And when Noah built the ark, instead of fleeing to the place of safety, they rejected the ark that was built. Now, the ark here is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, a type of Christ. As the ark was God's only way of provision for the ungodly in the days of Noah, whereby they could escape the judgment of God, so Christ is the only provision for sinful man today if he's going to escape the judgment that is coming upon this earth in a future day. There's only one ark, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice a number of things about this ark. It was God's plan. Take a look at verse 14 and 15, and you'll see that it was the plan of God. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. Here we have God instructing Noah how to build the ark. You see, it was God's plan. And you know, friend, the plan of redemption is God's plan. When the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven to this earth to die upon the cross, it was the plan of God. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you notice something else about the ark? It had only one door. And, of course, it could only be entered through that one door. We read about the door in verse 16.
and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. You know what the Bible tells me? Very simply, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only door to heaven. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. Oh, I wonder this evening, at the close of this mission, what are you depending upon for heaven? How are you planning to get there? Are you depending upon your church or your good works? Oh, men and women, tonight, there's only one entrance. There's only one door, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I pray tonight that if your faith is not completely in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, that you will come and trust Him alone for your eternal salvation. God is showing His mercy towards you. Of that there is no doubt. He has brought you here under the sound of the gospel. I believe He's speaking to you. His Holy Spirit is striving with you. And up until this time in your life, the Lord has been patient to you. Because many times you've heard the gospel before. And I have no doubt that this is not the first time you've heard the gospel. Maybe you're 40 or 50 or 60 years of age. Maybe you're older. And all your life you've listened to the message of the gospel. Has the Lord not been patient with you? Tonight again, He's still being patient. Why? Because He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And He has brought you here again to hear the message of the gospel, to hear about His provision in Christ Jesus. Oh, my friend, you need to flee to Christ. You need to flee to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Something else I want you to notice about the ark, this provision. The ark bore the storm of judgment. Take a look at chapter 7 there for a moment, and look at verse 23, and this is what we read. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. They that were with him in the ark. My friend, when the storm of God's judgment comes upon this world, again, as it surely will, there's only one place of safety, and that is in Christ. That's redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, are you safe in Christ this evening? Do you know Him as your own and personal Redeemer? Can you look back to a day in your life when you repented of your sin and trusted Him alone for your eternal salvation? Oh, if you cannot, then I would say tonight, come and trust Him. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. But my friend, when the storm comes, when the judgment falls, if you're outside of Christ, you'll be lost forever and forever and forever and forever. Did you notice something else here about the ark? When God shut the door of the ark, man's opportunity was gone forever. Take a look at chapter 7 again and look with me at verse 16. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. When Noah went into the ark, God shut the door. My friend, when God shuts the door, no man will open it. And when God opens the door, no man will shut it. But here we have in Scripture God shutting a door. God shutting Noah and his family into the ark. And once God shut the door, those that were in the ark were safe. But those that were shut out were lost. Forever and forever. The people had to be inside the ark in order to be safe. Oh, are you inside the ark tonight? Are you inside the ark? Are you in Christ? Redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb? Are you trusting alone in the finished work of Calvary for your eternal salvation? Oh, at the very close of this mission, men and women, I want to draw your attention once again to Calvary. I want to draw your attention once again to the cross. Because it's only when you have received the work of redemption and received Christ as your Savior and trusting in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you in the place called Calvary, that's the only place of safety. That's the only place of redemption. The storm is coming. Of that there is no doubt. The storm is coming. Will you be in Christ or will you be out of Christ? Because when that door is shut, there'll be no hope, there'll be no salvation, there will be no redemption. You know, I can just see the scene here. God has just shut Noah and his family into the ark. The people outside the ark, they think he's mad. They think that he has lost his head. But then it starts to rain. Noah said it would rain. God said it would rain. The people wouldn't listen. But the rain has started. And the floods have come. And all of a sudden the people realize the old preacher who preached for 120 years, well, he was right. He was right all along. God is going to judge the world. There is a God in heaven. What can we do now? We'll run to the ark. And friend, they run to the ark and they start knocking on the ark door, but the door's shut. And Noah can't open it because God has shut it. And their opportunity is gone and gone forever. You see, verse 3 also says, God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You know, friend, the day will come when opportunities, gospel opportunities, will be gone forever. And when that day comes, there will be nothing that you will be able to do or say to save yourself. You know, there's a text of Scripture, a solemn text of Scripture in Proverbs 1 and it's verse 28. Listen to these words. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Oh, just think about it. Calling unto God for salvation, but God not answering. You're in the day of grace. This is the day of opportunity. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the time to strive to enter in at the straight gate. God is being patient towards you. God is striving with you. He's pleading with you. God has made a provision. The provision of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Redemption found in Christ alone. Will you not flee to him tonight? Would you not turn from your sin and seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him when he is near? Because when the door shuts, when the judgment begins again, no matter how hard you cry, no matter how hard you call, God's ear will be closed to your cry. That's why the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart.